We've got a great conversation right now with Brad Graber. He is leads investinginTruth.com. Great financial advice from a biblical perspective. Brad, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Well, great to have you with us. You know, we've got some awesome topics that Kelly and I'm always learning from, and I know that our listening family appreciates your segment as well. We're talking about including God in our estate plan, and you know, that's an important thing, I guess, first of all, to have a plan, but to not shut out the Lord.
Yeah, we talked about the importance of having a plan last week, and so this week is just adding on to that, because one of the common issues that we find with Christians is there's a disconnect between their faith and their financial lives, and it's never more true than we get to their estate plan. And just as someone should be able to tell that we're a Christian when they pick up our checkbook, they should be able to do the same thing when they pick up our estate plan.
Well, Brad, why would some people not include ministries in their estate plans?
Well, as we talked about last week, 60% of people don't even have an estate plan. So right there is a big reason why a lot of people aren't doing it. They're just not doing the planning. And when we don't plan, we fall under the state's default estate plan, in essence. And the state is not going to include your ministries that you support and have a passion for in their plan. Another big reason is people want to leave everything to their children as a default. And again, we've had this discussion before as well, but just as a reminder, at some point, an inheritance can turn from a blessing into a curse. So we have to consider the child, we have to consider the amounts, and ultimately what we're trying to do is bring the most glory to God. And at some point, that what's going to bring God the most glory is going to turn from giving to our children to some other purpose, and that will include ministry as well. And then the last big reason, and probably one of the more common reasons as well, is that people have just never thought about it. When they think about estate planning, just like I said with number two, they're thinking about leaving everything to their children, or they're thinking about leaving it to specific people. And you know, even though their life may have been completely characterized by generous giving to ministry, for some reason there's just a disconnect there, and they're not considering that the money should be getting left to the ministry once they're gone, and not everything just being passed automatically to their children. And, you know, that fault can go a lot of different places. Typically, people on the receiving end, so whether that be pastors, missionaries, anybody on the ministry end, can be hesitant to even talk about this topic because it seems like it's self-serving. And they're talking about giving. They're talking about leaving money in their estate plan because they ultimately want their ministry funded. And that's where, you know, in my position as a financial planner, I like to be having this discussion with people because I'm asking you to give it to your ministries that you're supporting as a Christian, not as someone on the receiving end.
Well, I like what you've got here in your article here, Brad, where it says, if the church understood the importance of making estate gifts, the world of evangelism would be completely transformed. And the baby boomer generation expected to pass about $30 trillion through their estates in the next few decades. It is kind of sad to think that we're not really teaching each other how to participate in reaching the world for Christ.
That's right. There's a huge opportunity. And these don't have to be big gifts. It can just be a matter of, you know, just evaluating where your estate's going and where, again, can you bring God the most glory? And do you really have a desire to leave money to ministry and you just haven't thought about it, or you don't have a plan that actually puts that into motion? And if everyone in the church is thinking this way and just considering where their money's going once they're gone, I think it would change, again, like I said, the world of evangelism forever.
You know, I like what you've pointed out in the past too, Brad, that you know, when it comes to talking about why leave an estate gift to the kingdom, well, number one, God is the owner, and number two, I think that's a great legacy for us to leave, because even now that we're gone, people can look back and go, you know, she loved the Lord, he loved the Lord that much, and you never know what that might spark in someone's heart and inspire them to do.
It's a whole iron sharpens iron thing. And when we're leading by example, then we're spurring other people on to good actions as well.
Well, you know, it's also kind of our last chance to give, isn't it? I mean, when we put our will together, we're going over our estate plans, and we've taken our final breath, we've lost this earth. That's literally our last chance that we can give.
That's exactly right, and we can't make the decision after the fact, can we? So this is something we're going to have to look forward and actually plan it in advance. Just as we're planning our giving now, it's okay to give at the spur of the moment and just on impulse at times, but ultimately our gifts should be planned out. We should know what we're going to give before we walk into church on Sunday. And this is just another example of that. We should be planning out all aspects of our life, including how much we're leaving at the end. And while it doesn't require a sacrifice on our part to leave money out of our estate, because we know that at that point we can't use it. So it's not the same kind of sacrificial giving. I don't believe it has the same kind of eternal reward, but it can still bring glory to God and still be that example to others that God is worthy of receiving these gifts.
Now, Brad, you've talked about being careful what we leave our kids and really thinking that through, because if we're not careful in how we leave something for our children, it can actually, what we think might be a blessing, can turn into a curse. And I know that you talk about protecting our kids from materialism and not leaving them so much that we actually harm their spiritual lives. Expand on that a little bit and explain that more. How could we harm their spiritual lives if we're not careful?
Well, we have to understand where they are spiritually to start with. And are they able to handle wealth dumped upon them? For some people, they're not going to be able to. That's just gasoline on the fire of selfish living or whatever their desires are, because we're just now enabling them to go chase after wherever their heart is. And if their heart is with the Lord, then they're probably going to be faithful with the money that we give them, regardless of how much it is. But on the other side, if their heart isn't with the Lord, where are their desires at? Are their desires in material things? If so, we just gave them the ability to go get everything that their heart desires to an extent until the money eventually runs out. So that's not a blessing on them. We're actually enabling them to go down a road that leads them away from God and into materialism. I think it's so important to remember, too, the aspect of work and the value of work. And it takes me back to Ecclesiastes 5:12. Where Solomon says, "The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much, but as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep." So wealth doesn't come without a burden. A lot of people think that, well, if I give my kids lots of money, then life is going to be great for them. They're not going to have any worries. That's not true at all. That verse comes from a man that saw what wealth can do in a life. And it doesn't free us from all responsibilities. It doesn't free us from all worries and concerns. It actually can increase them in most cases.
Well, my daughter at least knows there won't be financial wealth she'll get from me, but we're giving wealth. I'm passing a different kind of wealth on in a different form spiritually. Some great advice, Brad, as always. Not shutting out the Lord, including God in your estate plan. I would say pray about it. And don't do these things in anger or willy-nilly. You need to really include God in your estate plan. It's a very serious thing.
That's right. And in all things, I always tell people, seek wise counsel. Have the conversations, seek wise people out, and have these conversations with them. And it's amazing what we don't even know. And when we have these conversations, new ideas come to mind, and it just, as you said before, it spurs us each on to good works and glorifying God in the end.